Tonight's first reading is from Luke chapter 1, verse 54 and 55. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And our second reading is Isaiah 49, verses 8 through to 18, which is on page 737 if you've got a Bible. This is what the Lord says: in the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and will find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth, burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste apart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. This is the word of the Lord. Can I just pray for you, Tasha? Dear Lord, I just thank you for Tasha. Thank you for the time and preparation that she's put into bringing your word to us this evening. May our hearts and ears be open, and may we be in a posture to receive your word this evening. I pray this in your precious name. Amen.
So for those of you who weren't at the morning service, the 10:45, I'd say it's worth giving the message from the earlier services a listen. It's my husband preaching, and he does a spectacular job. And if anything, it's worth tuning in to figure out what Dumpling Fest 2025 is. So give it a listen. Anyway, so non sequitur. Today we're continuing our series on the Song of Mary, known as the Magnificat. Mary knows she's going to give birth to Jesus, and she sings a wonderful and powerful song that we've been walking through for the past couple of weeks. And today we are focusing kind of on the last section, which is verses 54 and 55, which reads, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Our key word for today is promise. So as we think about promise, what was the last promise you made? What was the last promise that you made? Maybe you promised to meet someone here for church tonight. Congratulations, you've done it. Maybe you've promised you'll be home at a certain time after church, which is partially dependent on you, partially dependent on public transportation and traffic. Maybe you promised to clean your room or vacuum your flat. Maybe you promised to pick up kitchen towel or milk on your way. What was the last promise that you made? The question might have made you pause, because when you think about it, we make promises all the time. But because we make promises all the time, promises can start maybe seeming like they lose their importance. Now, when I was younger, growing up in the States, we had a physical ritual we would do if somebody told us that they were going to be sharing some major, important secret. And they wanted to make sure that you, as the person receiving this end, this secret, that you were serious, that we would keep this promise and keep it a secret. So we would say, when we were making this promise, cross my heart and hope to die. Have any of you heard that before? A few of you. Okay, it's not just a states-wide thing. Meaning, in a sense, we would rather die than break this promise. Now, given usually when you were making this, you were like kids, and the secret was often, at least among my circles, among like my girlfriends, you know, who we had a crush on, this is fairly low stakes, right? Now, another way to make a promise, and I'm going to have John Darling stand up for me because you're tall and can help me. So one another thing that we would do, maybe you've heard of this, pinky promise or pinky swear, right? So this is another way. Now you can sit down. Thank you. Yeah. Making sure you're paying attention. So a pinky swear or a pinky promise to do whatever, again, often keep a secret or do a special task. This is a way of making a promise. Now, as you get older, the promises get more serious and more official. As you're, for instance, applying for schools, there are promises made about getting particular scores that you may or may actually be able to get. You sign contracts, which are really making official promises. If you think about it, you sign contracts for housing. You sign a code of conduct for your school. If you get married, you make vows or official promises, and you sign a document making it legally binding. You sign work contracts determining your salary, your holidays, your sick leave, and your job description. I will do these tasks, and you will pay me and give me these things for it. We make promises all the time, and we are constantly working to keep those promises. In a sense, the world runs on promises. One of the words that we use in the Bible for promise is covenant. Covenant. And one of the most important covenants or promises given in the Bible is given in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And this is a unique promise because it is a promise made by God given to a particular person in history. At least this seems unique then. And this promise is unique because it's, I already said that, it's unique made to Abraham. And to do a quick recap, so Abraham was just, honestly, some random guy who was married, but he and his wife were unable to have children together. They were barren. And God chooses this random guy, Abraham, and promises Abraham three things. So, three things. First, God will make Abraham into a great nation through Abraham's descendants. God will give Abraham land on which to settle. That's the second. And the third, through Abraham and Abraham's descendants, all the world would be blessed. So these are, like, you separate them out and you just take one of those promises and they'd be pretty big. You put them all three together and it's absolutely huge. God makes this promise to Abraham. And on top of that, God makes this covenant with Abraham by Abraham sacrificing some animals, cutting them in half, and then God walks through them. No, I did not want to find a picture and put it up online, or put a picture up on here. They were all kind of weird. So anyway, no picture, my apologies. So fast forward many generations after Abraham to when today's reading from Isaiah was written. Now God had been faithful to Abraham and Abraham's descendants. Abraham had a son, Isaac, who had sons, and then there was more, and so they became a great nation, descendant, had land that God had given them, but they had broken their promises to God. They had not followed laws given to them by God, saying, like, follow these laws and I will protect you. They couldn't do that. Couldn't love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they had also failed at loving their neighbors as themselves. They had worshipped other gods. They had put trust in other nations to save them instead of God. They had neglected the poor and the hungry and the desperate. So God withdraws God's protection, and God's people, Abraham's descendants, this once great nation, is defeated and carried off into exile. They are forced to leave their homes, to leave their lives, their work, all things familiar, and move to a new place. They still exist as a people, but aren't really a nation, just a fragmented group of survivors. They have no land, no place to call home, not really. And as for the third part of the promise, to be a blessing for all people, well, how is this messy, barely holding together group of people possibly going to be a blessing to others? And maybe you're wondering this about yourself too. What was the last promise you made? Were you able to keep it? Or, thinking about the many promises you've made using a contract, how is keeping your place clean and good order going? Are you getting the scores that you promised on your exams? Do you feel like you're fulfilling the contractual obligations in your work contract to the full? For those of you who might happen to be married, how is loving your spouse in sickness and health going, especially when they're sick and needy and kind of useless when it's go time and Christmas is just around the corner? Or maybe you're feeling like God's people in exile, defeated, with no place to call home and no clear future. And to all of this, we get Isaiah's promise in Isaiah 49. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep or preserve you and will give you as a covenant to the people to restore the land. There's that promise. And to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. You'll notice I highlighted the phrase in the verse, I will preserve you or keep you. No, I didn't. I meant to put that in bold. Whatever. Kind of in the middle one. I will keep, preserve you, and I will give you as a covenant to the people. In other words, as I said before, a covenant is God's promise to the people. So what God is saying here in saying, I will give you as a promise to the people, is God is saying that we are the promise. We are bearers of God and God's promises to the people. You see, God is recalling here that third promise given to Abraham. Through you, all people will be blessed. Here, God's people are reminded that they are inheritors of that promise. I will give you as a covenant to the people. When you think back to those examples that earlier cross my heart and hope to die, pinky swear, pinky promise, or physically signing a contract on a piece of paper, holding hands and exchanging vows, and a physical ring in marriage, promises are often physical. They are made by people, by us, living people, bodies. And there are physical consequences for not keeping your promises. Cross my heart and hope to die. Thankfully, we don't take this serious, but we do want to say the seriousness of our promise by putting our bodies on the line. I did look this up. The reason that you do pinky swear, the suggestion is if you break your promise, then you get to break the other person's pinky. This is online. I did look this up. Or the physical feeling of removing wedding bands at the demise of a marriage, something very difficult. Even God's promise to Abraham required bodies, the dead bodies of the animal. And then what happened is God passes through these dead bodies, they're cut in half. God passes through and we're described as a fiery torch or a flesh pot, a burning flesh pot. So there's something physical. God is physically walking through the space. And interestingly, there are physical consequences for God if God should break God's promise to Abraham. The meaning of God walking through these animals that have been cut in half is to say, for God to say, let me become as these dead animals should I fail to keep this promise, this covenant. God is dedicated to keeping God's promise. Even when we fail at our end of the bargain, God is faithful. God keeps God's promises. How dedicated is God to keeping these promises? Well, we continue. It says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Even after the reminder a few verses earlier that God's people are still worried that God is going to forget them. And we hear, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. How dedicated is God to keeping his promise? We are engraved on the palms of his hands. God is so determined to keep this promise, even in spite of the fact that we constantly break our promises to God and each other, that God engraves us, tattoos us, cuts us into the palms of his hands through the scars of Jesus, God in the flesh, that he bears on the cross. God promised God would die to keep God's promise to Abraham. And that is just what God did. God died on the cross, nails and hands forever tattooing, engraving, cutting us into Jesus' body. And with his death, Jesus takes all our mistakes, all our broken promises, all our unfaithfulness, and puts it to death once and for all with his death. Then through his resurrection on Easter, he brings us to new life with him, to live as physical bearers of God's covenant, God's promises to the world. Because just as we are engraved on the palms of God's hands as a reminder of God's promise to us, we are the physical reminder of God's promises to the world. This is what it means that we have been given as a covenant, as a promise. We have been given by God to bring God's promises to the world. We carry these promises, this covenant that God made to Abraham. Through him and through us, all people will be blessed. You are a blessing to others. And we bless others by sharing these promises with them. We bless others for forgiving them when they inevitably break a promise. We bless them by being present when they're in exile. We bless them by doing the best to keep our promises. We bless them by sharing Jesus with them. We bless them by inviting them to church or to student group or to youth or to our carol services. You are a blessing, and you bear God's promise to the world. God has engraved you on the palm of his hands, and God has given you individually, just you, as a covenant, as a promise to the world. So go be a blessing, just as God has called you. Amen.